Sometimes there are people we are clinging to, and God has moved on from there. Because tradition shows us to keep hooking on. But if we're going to walk with God, we must be where He is.
Life is a journey, and as in every journey, you need a roadmap. Today, on Your Roadmap to Success, you will receive detailed instructions on how to navigate through life successfully. Welcome to Your Roadmap to Success with author and teacher, Neil Achampong.
I can go on and on and show you that God's word is so, so powerful. Anybody who is in doubt that this word is powerful? I know none of us is in doubt. But why is this word not working in your life? Jesus tells us. Why? Let's go back to Mark chapter 7. Why is this word not working? Come on, talk to me. Don't be afraid. I'm sure you'll be saying the truth. Why is this word not working? My tradition. And let's add some S to it. My traditions. And please, don't look at it only in terms of cultural traditions. Sometimes it is mental conditioning. That we have been conditioned a certain way. Nothing happens in your life until this changes. Sometimes it hurts my spirit to hear Christians say things like, how are you behaving like you are white, you are black? And I'm just standing there and I'm saying, when you use your brains, there's no color to it. Just use your brains. Jesus said, your traditions can nullify. I made a research to understand the word nullify, that the King James stretches of none effect. And it simply means this, it will produce very little or nothing. This word, the word God spoke and everything start coming into being, that word will produce what? Little or nothing. Why? Because, yeah, you're getting it. Some of us have traditions in marriages. You know clearly. Can you save me some heart attack? Because sometimes when I sit in the middle of some marriage issues, I'm asking myself, am I dealing with a bunch of children or what? Because some issues will always crop up if two people live together. So it should never even end up in front of me. And you are bringing the minds of Christians there, and they are reminding me of tradition. You are making the word of God of none effect. Sometimes you can see husbands and wives, and then you realize that the woman is very good at managing money, but the man has this tradition that he's the guy, and he must be in control. Then later on, you go and pray, Lord, change my wife. You need to be very careful because the word of God will not make your wife submissive because you have already nullified by the tradition you followed. Amen. Are you here with me? Let me show you a picture in the Bible. I'm just being careful so there are some things I don't say. A Christian shows up in church. Now I'm coming to you. And then they want God to use them, but they will sit on the fence and only talk. How do you expect God to use you? If you misuse somebody's business, how do you expect God to give you your own business? Let me talk to you. Because we have a tradition of talking about pastors, so we just want to do it. Stop the tradition. Most of you married men, tell me by now. What is it that has made you keep a marriage? Is it because of your wife's scholarship? What has made you keep her?
Because Bible says she's my helper.
She's your helper. Not your stooge, but your helper. What I'm trying to show to you is that God has given us his word that can change our lives totally. But we have chosen to hold on to so many traditions. So many of them. And it's destroying the one thing God has given that can change our lives entirely. And you hear people say, are black people cursed? No, we are not cursed. We are refusing to use our 3.5-pound brain. People will go to church and pray in the name of Jesus. Father, I receive wealth now. I receive wealth now. Because it's a tradition. It was handed over to us. And we are doing it. But child, let me tell you, you can pray for money. Money ain't coming until you go work. And then you make money. We give in obedience to the word of God because there's a level of blessing God gives us that cannot be equated with money. One of them is strength to be able to get up every morning and go make the money. But you cannot say, God, money coming. From where? So you realize that the church is full of poor people. Because we have taught them traditions, not the word. Judges chapter 15. I'll close soon. As I grow older, I think I get wiser. You will talk to people, tell them, don't go about your marriage this way. They think they are smarter. But these people, they are delicate though. You know that by now. Very delicate. If you handle them well, life will be nice. If you mishandle them, life will also be nice. Are you here, book of Judges? Okay, let's read. And this is about Samson. And he did something that you have to do with a tradition. Remember, we said a tradition is something that was good at one point in time. But over time, if you're going to walk with the Holy Spirit, you cannot keep holding on to what? Traditions. Let's look at what this dude did. This is Samson. As he, that is Samson, approached Lehi, the Philistines came towards him shouting, the Spirit of the Lord came powerfully upon him. The ropes on his arms became like charred flax. Please notice, what came upon him? What came upon him? So what Samson is about to do is a work of the Holy Spirit. But for that to remain, he had to deal with the tradition. Next verse. And the bindings dropped from his hands, finding a fresh. Everybody say fresh. Did he use the old jawbone? Did he use an old jawbone? You see, when you walk with the Holy Spirit, he shows you new things. It is amazing how today a prophet will receive a direction, gives it to an individual, and then they make it a monument. Because God gave him a direction to use salt, he tells everybody, use salt. And Christians are following it. And then they say they are walking with the Holy Spirit. How? So God wants to give you a word that would change your financial situation, but you are so hooked on to this tradition of salt. Finding a fresh jawbone of a donkey, he grabbed it and struck down 1,000 men. Wow. Verse 16. Then Samson said, with a donkey's jawbone, with a donkey's jawbone, I have made donkeys of them. With a donkey's jawbone, I have killed 1,000 men. Can you see Samson if he was in today's world? I'm speaking to some of you who have business ideas. Don't copy the ones you see. Wait on the Holy Spirit. He will give you an idea that will make you filthy rich. Don't look at what you see. If Samson was in our day, Brother Sam, if Samson was in our day, they would have said, let's patent this jawbone and put a trademark on it. And if it was in church, this is a special anointing service with a jawbone. So the pastor will be running the jawbone. And then we keep saying we are living in the days where we ought to depend on the Holy Spirit. Because of our focus on yesterday's success, we forget where God is going today. Everybody read verse 17. What did Samson do after he was done? Go. When he, that is Samson, finished speaking, he threw away the jawbone, and the place was called Ramath Lehi. When he finished, he didn't trademark it. He did not put a patent on it. This is my invention. We get so caught up with ourselves and feel so good when God wants to do new thing. Have you seen God repeat himself before? He never does. He never does. And many of us, God would have opened your eyes to some powerful things, but you are so focused on the way God did it for someone. When that GI told me, based on the pictures I see, you got the same thing your mama got. And I saw your uncle's report. It is pretty much the same way. And you are around the same corner. So, buddy, I knew Hezekiah was in the Bible, but I never called his name. I said, God, it's me, who started serving you when I was little. It is me who have preached your word to the nations of the world. Sometimes even worried because what I say is not popular. It is me you want to take away? No, that is not going to happen. But I did not just say it and sit. Those days, there were people who thought maybe I was exercising so much. That's why I've lost a lot of weight. No, I fasted 6 months because I said, I will not go down without a fight. This thing must stop. And I bless God for the life of my wife. She says, hon, I will stand by. We will fast together. There were days I have to just take my blood pressure medication, and I knew I was going to die if I did it. And I said, God, if it's death, then we do it now. And I put it on hold because I wanted to see the hand of God so bad, and I was willing to do what it takes to make it happen. Are you guys with me? Yes. Now, please, don't assume that 6 months fasting did it, because I was fasting and praying until the 2 weeks, and when the doctor said, it looks you need to prepare. That was the time I came to church. We were in downtown, you all remember? And I said that it looks like I was dying, and the doctor said this. And when I went home, and my faith that I have had, fasting for so many months, went through the window. Because I could feel it in my body, and my body was telling me, until one day, Frida, you know what you said to me, you remember? I don't think you even remember. Maybe God used your mouth. He said, Pastor, how can you teach us faith and not walk in it? That's what this lady said to me. Until I got home, and it was 1 a.m. in the morning. One of my boys, I shall leave unnamed, walk into my room and said, Daddy, can you stand? And I said, I'm a little weak. And I said to him, go down to my office. My safe has these numbers. I have paperwork sitting in there with my living will. And pointed to mommy because right now she's not listening to anything I'm saying. The boy looks at me and said, Daddy, just get up. Kneel by your bedside. I look at him and I was about to yell, didn't you hear me? But the energy was not there. And I said, son, I gave you an order to do some stuff. He said, daddy, I'll do that afterwards. Can you kneel? And I said, you need to help me. So I struggled down. And he laid hands on me and said, God, increase my father's faith. There is no way that boy would know that. So I knew God was speaking to me. So I grabbed my Bible and I started walking through the room and declaring, I shall not die. I will live to declare the work of the Lord. And I kept saying that for almost 2 hours. You see, it is not the how long, but it is about the fact that it had to sink down within my Noah. And then the next morning when I got up, I called the doc and I said, doc, you'll be disappointed. And the moment I was telling him, I was bleeding. But something has gotten into me. What has gotten into me? This word. It's gotten down on the inside. I said, you will be disappointed because I'm going to live. And anybody who called me, I said, I'm living. When they said, this thing, I said, pause right there. If you don't listen, I shut the phone down. Because everything in me was going to stand by the word of God. That is how you shut down traditions. Because tradition says, anybody who had that in my family, they die. I'm here. I said, I am what? And it's not about me, but I shut it down for the rest of the generations behind me. That this, there is a precedent of how to shut it down. So if it pops up somewhere, you can say, Papa Neil destroyed this through the power of God, and I can do it too. Are you hearing me today? There is a popular tradition that men in this country, if their wives stands up and they become insubordinate, the marriages end. You must shut that tradition down and say, God, this is not possible based on the word of God. And you must be willing to do what it takes to make things change. Are you hearing me today? The Bible says when Samson has finished speaking, he threw away the very thing that he could have made a tradition out of. Let's just be honest. There is an anointing oil that sits inside this thing here. If I brought it out, and I told you this anointing oil was brought from Israel, and it was in a particular horn, and you can take some, how many of you will let it go after service? I'm looking up there. Most of us will go look for bottles and grab it. Because we have this mindset, this tradition, that if it came from Israel, then it is what? Powerful. I will never downplay the concept of going to hide in a place and pray. Because there are way too many what? Distractions. But why would you travel elsewhere just to go and pray because people said there's anointing in that zone? When you could have stayed either in your room if the kids were out for school, or come here into this building at any time, or maybe decide that you put up a little tent on the ground here and you want to seek your God. Who would tell you to go away? Nobody. We need to shut this traditional stuff. So you will find people go to certain mountains, I will not give names, because they believe that from there, they will receive a breakthrough. I have nothing against those mountains. But didn't Jesus say in the book of John chapter 4 that a time is coming when it will not be about a mountain, that God is looking for true worshipers who will worship the Father where? In spirit and in truth. Sometimes there are things we are accustomed to and God has already moved from there. Let me make a statement. Write it down. I'm closing. Don't get caught up in what God used to use. Did you copy what I said? I said, don't get what? Caught up in what God used to use. Maybe then go and correct the grammar for yourself. But at least you get what I'm saying. 1 Samuel chapter 16. Don't get caught up in what God used to use. 1 Samuel chapter 16. Did you learn anything today?
Yes, sir.
Oh, I made you angry. 1 Samuel chapter 16. Are you there? Look at verse 1. I want somebody to stand up in the crowd and read it. 1 Samuel chapter 16. Look at verse 1. What does it say? Yeah, somebody in the congregation read it.
The Lord said, how long do you intend to mourn for Saul? I have rejected him as king over Israel. Fill your horn with olive oil and go. I am sending you to Jesse in Bethlehem, for I have selected a king for myself from among his sons.
Did you guys understand what he just read? The prophet Samuel, it was through him that Saul was anointed king. You all remember that. There came a time Saul had done some things that God said he should not do. And God had decided that he was not going to deal with the dude anymore. And the prophet Samuel was on his knees praying for Saul. And God came to him. I'm going to put it my way. This is my version. Samuel, the thing you are hooked on, I have already left. Sometimes there are people we are clinging to, and God has moved on from there. Because tradition shows us to keep hooking on. But if we're going to walk with God, we must be where he is. And God has to remind the prophet. No, ladies and gentlemen, this is a prophet. It tells you that sometimes even prophetic words are not complete. Because he could not know that God had moved on. Saul was still on the throne. Saul was still ruling. Saul was giving commands. But God had left. Could it be that the thing that is enthroned in your life is not there because God put it? If he put it the first time, he already says it ought to be dethroned. This is why some sicknesses cannot remain in your body. Because God says they cannot be what? There. It's time for them to move. It's a place to clap your hands and give grace to the Lord. It's a time for that thing. And you need to stand up and tell yourself, oh, King of Glory, the same way you moved on and told the prophet, I have moved on. I have found myself a new king, a son of Jesse, David by name. This is the new man that I am using. Could it be that you are chasing after men of God that God is no more with? But based on traditions, they are the ones we want to go after. Let's go back to that statement I made again. Don't get caught up in what God used to use. Don't get caught up. Don't get acclimatized. Don't fall in love with the thing God used to use, because God, he has moved on. The day God tells me he's moved on from this church, I'll leave. Because why am I here? Why am I here? Something hit my head. Don't go walk away from your marriage and tell me God has moved out of there. Stay there. Stay there. You go home, you tell your spouse, huh? You heard the pastor. God told Samuel, get up and move on. Because I, God, I have moved on. And I think that in this marriage, God has moved on. So it's time for me. To... In the context of marriage, I personally believe that any two human beings without any emotional connection can still be married, provided they put their heads to it. Yeah, our problem is today we've made this whole love thing all about how I feel. You're making me feel. Yesterday, Eric was talking to me. He was asking me about how I interplay my emotions. And I said, brother, it's complex. Because one second, I'm on the phone praying for somebody, crying with a person, right? And then the next second, somebody calls and says, Pastor, a miracle just happened. I have to switch and rejoice with them. Then in the next second, another one calls and says, I'm in jail. Can you pick me out? There are people who rush. I want to be pastor. Preaching is the easiest part of this work. It is the managing of people day to day. It is when you stand and the doctor says, if you do this surgery, you will die. And the church members are standing there waiting on you. Pastor, should I or should I not? And sometimes I will say, right in the hospital room, give me a second. I walk into a closed place and I say, Father, you need to speak. Because I cannot say anything at all to them. And sometimes the instruction is very simple. Tell them to do it. And the doctor has already told you they have 90% chance of dying. If you were in my shoes, what would you do? Run away. Then they come see you at church on Sunday. I know you didn't mean it. Sometimes I have given word to people and there's a part of me that knows that I have declared this thing in truth. But then there's a part of me that says, when they died, yeah. I remember there was a couple. The husband says, this is where I stand. The lady said, this is where I stand. And I stood with the lady. I didn't want to. But I had to do it to save life. And literally when life was saved, the husband came by and said, Pastor, I'm ashamed. I said, no, it's part of our Christian walk. But you have learned that there comes a time you must believe God. I told someone to have a surgery. The surgery lasted 18 hours. And all the 18 hours, I was on my knees crying to God, Father, uphold your word. You think it's just about just preaching the Bible to you? If it's this one, I would have told God, next time when I come back, never make me a pastor. Let me run around me to have party like everybody else. It is because I've decided never to get caught up in what God used to use. Sometimes God used prayer. It does not mean every day he will use prayer. Yeah, and some of you, religious people, you don't want me to say that. Now, I told you, in the name of Jesus, money cometh, you will be poor. Stop and go and work. Then when you come back, pray, God, give me the strength every day to go and work and make me superb so that whenever I put my work down, I am special. Are you guys understanding me? 21 days in January this year, I'm fasting, man. I'm fasting. Jeez. Hey, hallelujah. Oh, glory. On the 9th, we started fasting on January 10th. On the 9th of January 9th, you realize that you are so hungry. So you ate so bad and woke up in the morning already tired. And Satan tells you, you are defeated. It is true you have started on the wrong foot. But it is also true that God is looking at your heart. So you can say, today I will skip. But I'm going to prepare my body for the days ahead. Is it not better to fast for 20 days than simply just give up and throw your hands out and never do it? See, Satan is smart though. He never wins until you give him the chance. Let me close with this story from the scriptures. Please pay attention to me. From today, I want to encourage every one of you. You need to say no to tradition. Walk with the Holy Spirit.
Thank you for joining us on this spiritual encounter. Need more help? Text radio to 301-696-8555 or visit us on the web at covenantfamilychapel.org. You may also visit us at one of our in-person services on Sundays at 10 a.m. and discover the difference that the kingdom of God makes. Like up on social media, YouTube, Facebook, TikTok, Twitter, and Instagram, all at Covenant One Family.